Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Welcome to FST, the Saturday edition. Mike Blewett and Joe Galina here for 3 hours this morning. Thanks for joining us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network live, streaming to you on right here on our the app, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country. So thank you. We appreciate you joining us and listening to us drone on about whatever the news of the day is. But clearly, there's a lot of different ways to go. It's that time of year, Joe Galina. First of all, let me welcome in my co-host, Joe Galina. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Thanks for being you, Mike.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that, and thanks for being you as well. So, there's a lot. This is that time of year. We hit May. We're coming off the draft, the euphoria of the NFL draft just ended 12 days ago or so. And we'll continue to go through teams. We'll spend a lot of time on the NFL each week on this show. But we're hitting that period in the NFL year, calendar year, where we're starting to kind of slide into mini camps. And then towards the end of June, middle of June, these guys get some time off. So it's really the one time of the NFL year, as much as the NFL has tried to capture each and every month. This is the one time, couple of weeks after the NFL draft, where they start to take a little bit of a back seat. And MLB is in full swing, obviously. We'll talk a lot about that. And then the NBA playoffs and NHL playoffs are upon us. Obviously, we don't do a lot of hockey on the show. It's not my sweet spot, nor is it Joe's. But the NBA playoffs, I'll tell you a story in the second segment about how I went to the Philly-Toronto game, and I'll give you a full recap of that just a couple of days ago. But a 4-overtime game last night, Blazers-Nuggets. I said to you, thank God I did not try to stay up for that, because I was watching the beginning of it and decided to bail because I was exhausted from the previous night having gone to Philadelphia and back.
Yeah, you got to be dedicated to be able to, sit through. I shouldn't say sit through, right? Because, overtimes are just exciting, whether it be playoff basketball, but especially also, like you said, we don't really follow hockey as much as guys like Kurtz and Cam Stewart do in the next show. But playoff hockey, when it goes to overtime, is amazing as well.
Yeah, so, it's like an edge of your seat situation all the time, for certain. Mm-hmm. So clearly there is a ton going on, but we'll start it off with baseball today because there were some really interesting performances. I was saying to Joe before it couldn't have worked out better for me yesterday because I got some unbelievable pitching for my fantasy team. And I guess I'll just sort of close my eyes and pick. Why don't we start it off with Kyle Hendricks? Hendricks dominant. He's had a very odd up and down season. Three starts ago, including yesterday's, he K'd 11, I believe. And then the next start, he got lit up. And then yesterday, an 81-pitch shutout for Kyle Hendricks. The Cubs first since Greg Maddux. Hendricks throws Cubs first Maddux since 2009. So what they call a Maddux is the fewer than 100 pitches in a complete game shutout. So 81 pitches, the first time the Cubs pitcher threw a Maddux since Carlos Zambrano had achieved the feat in 2009. Remember him? So only John Lieber had fewer pitches, 78, against the Reds in a shutout in recorded Cubs history. So pretty crazy that he even beat out what was a Greg Maddux bar. So look, he got an extension at the beginning of the year, maybe starting to feel a little bit more comfortable. That being said, he's been up and down to start. I'm thrilled because he really gave me a nice edge this week in my matchup versus one of the other hosts here. But Kyle Hendricks, just sort of give me your thoughts on how you feel about him as a pitcher and if you still expect more ups and downs or we can expect him to be on the right side of this for the rest of the year.
Well, he's Hendricks, not really a sexy name in fantasy because he doesn't really wow you with you know, his strikeout rates. I mean,
That's right.
Yeah, so, but you can't argue against what he's done throughout his career. You know, he's had, 2016, 2.13 ERA. But what you expect more from him is, you know, mid-three range of ERA. Actually, his career ERA, I'm looking at, is 3.1. So Cubs starting pitching has been coming on as of late. Based on his pedigree and what he's done in the past, I could see him continuing to pitch well, maybe kind of like as the weather warms up. The weather in Chicago is crazy because I remember a couple of years ago we went to Chicago and saw a game in May, and it felt like it was like the middle of February. So, you know, once the warmer weather comes, I think that he'll be fine. Like I said, he's got a good pedigree. Not going to really give you much in the terms of strikeouts, but he'll help you with the ERA. And look, the Cubs are a decent team. Get you some wins, 14 wins last season. So probably from where you picked him up, Mike, in the draft so far, even though he's had his ups and downs, a decent bargain for you, no?
Yeah, certainly. And he was at a point in the draft. I can't say off the top of my head exactly where he went in the draft, but it was at a point where I was just looking for extra starters. In my top two were Chris Sale and Herman Marquez. So the next guys I picked up to sort of fill in innings were Kyle Hendricks and Tyler Glasnow. We'll get to Glasnow in a minute, but I certainly got a lot of value out of those picks. I understand that I can't have these expectations of Hendricks, A, because he's been very up and down this year, and B, to your point, he isn't a big strikeout guy, so what are the categories he's really going to contribute? If he can keep the ERA down, and currently it sits at 3.93 even after the shutout, he's 2-4 on the season. So if he can bring the ERA down, he can help me there. Quality starts is really what I'm looking for in front of him. Maybe a bunch of wins since the Cubs are playing much better now at 17-12. I think that would really be my expectation for Hendricks going forward, even if I'm not getting the strikeouts. For the rest of this game, Anthony Rizzo hits a three-run homer. That really paced the Cubs because it was a 4-0 game. Cardinals obviously did jack offensively. And the only other one that contributed, Contreras with a hit, Javi Baez with a hit and an RBI. Chris Bryant, 1-for-3, a couple of runs scored. But really the story was all Hendricks. A really quick-paced game. I'm trying to look at the game time and see if I can find it. 2 hours and 28 minutes. How about that?
There you go. That's like a 1970s game or something, right?
Yeah, it is.
Maybe a 1950s game, yeah.
But go ahead.
I was just going to mention with Rizzo, I think it's his third straight game with a home run, so he's really heating up. And another thing about Hendricks that we didn't talk about is just, you know, he gives you, you know, innings. You know, 199 innings and last season 180, 190. So that's another thing he'll give you in a decent whip. And I'm sorry for interrupting you. I just want to throw
All right. But he's, you know, maybe I'm old school, but I like those types of pitchers that can still go out there and give you innings. It isn't, like you said, it isn't sexy for fantasy, but it's better than me having a guy that's on the IL two or three times with, you know, or constantly getting knocked out of games. I know that, and I'm going to put Hendricks out there just about every time. Now, if he goes into a tailspin and he's going to hurt me, my ratios or whatever, maybe I bench him here or there. Sure. But Hendricks is the type of guy that you put him into your starting lineup at the beginning of the year, and I probably won't move him the whole year. Do you know what I mean? Knock on wood.
Yeah.
So here you go. Kyle Hendricks with a brilliant performance. It's funny that you mentioned the Chicago weather because I've been to Wrigley twice in my life. once was a late May game, and it was exactly as you said. That was probably 20 years ago, and
yep,
it was
2 years ago.
Freezing. It was freezing. And so this is back in the day, 20 years ago. The Cubs have always had good attendance, but they didn't knock out the building every day like they have been the last few years. So it was so cold in the shade that the entirety of the attending population moved into the sunny areas of the stadium.
Right,
so we probably
had
seats behind the Cubs dugout, and we ended up having to move into the sunny area down one of the lines, just the way the sun was breaking in that afternoon game. It's my first time at Wrigley, and it was freezing. Fast forward 10 years later, which was 10 years ago, and I went to a Cubs-Cardinals Friday afternoon game in August, and it was 100 degrees and brutal. And we were in the bleachers, and it was a bachelor party, so you can imagine what was going on. That's a bachelor party. And it just got to a point where, as much as guys were excited to be there and having some beers in the bleachers, it was so hot. They had people spraying us down. You know, they have the guys out there with like those hoses.
Yep.
Everybody just had to stop drinking beer. We're like, we're going to pass out. We need to start drinking water.
Water, exactly. Yeah.
And I think we left like right after the take me out to the ball game, or like, you know, top of the eighth. We had to get out of there because the sun was just crushing us. So those are my two experiences at Wrigley, and it aptly describes what you got to deal with the weather there.
Yeah, like we were in Wrigley 2 years ago in May, and kind of the same experience as you. Very cold, and believe it or not, they had, many stadiums do, they had an outside bar that was in the sun, and, me and my wife were into baseball, and we sat in our seats the longest of the group that was with us. The rest of them went to the sunny part of the stadium, even though it was in the outdoor bar part, so it's just to show you. And my first experience in Chicago watching baseball was actually, you know, they have those bleachers on the roofs of buildings. So it was one of my buddy's, birthdays, and they had set up a thing where a bunch of us went together. I was upset because I wasn't going to be inside Wrigley watching the game, but I watched it from a rooftop bleachers, beyond right field. And I got to say, I felt as if I was in the stadium because it was a huge crowd. You know, it was a Saturday afternoon, sunny game, and it was just, your ticket to watch the game included unlimited food, beer and wine. So it's interesting to watch it from that perspective.
Yeah, yeah. And shout out to Kyle Hendricks. I didn't realize he went to Dartmouth. So Ivy League guy out there getting
there. You go.
So Kyle Hendricks, a big performance there. So I might as well flip the page over to my next guy, which was Tyler Glasnow. He's the Cy Young leader in the American League, right?
Very close, yeah. The way
6-0, 1.47 ERA.
Yeah, amazing what he's done. Worked with his delivery a little bit in spring training. You heard reports that his velocity had a slight uptick in spring training. You know, a disciple of Ray Searidge, the renowned pitching coach from the Pirates. And you wonder why he couldn't get this kind of production out of him. But yes, Tyler Glasnow definitely in the running. If the season ended today, might just be the Cy Young Award winner in the AL.
So 6-0, 1.47. Yesterday, he throws seven strong, so much for the opener, right? Seven innings, three hits, eight strikeouts, no earned runs for Glasnow. Rays win 7-0 over the hapless Orioles. And he's helping to pace this team. The Rays have the most wins in all of baseball. And they're tied with the Dodgers. But right now, they are ahead of pace at a .656 winning percentage. Yankees playing much better, obviously, but the Rays keeping pace. They're both 7-3 in their last 10.
Yeah, Tampa is not going away. and they've got a nice mix of you know, pitching, and Charlie Morton, you know, veteran, came over from the Astros and doing well. Their lineup, you know, Tommy Pham was 3-for-4, 2 runs batted in yesterday.
Yep.
Brandon Lowe, the second baseman, 2 hits. They gave him an extension. They expect a lot out of him going forward. They called up Nate Lowe, power hitting first baseman this week, 300 batting average career-wise in the minor leagues. So they've got a nice mix. You know, you think about their pitching. Even Willie Adames got a couple of hits, second-year shortstop for them. Yeah. Mike, they're not going anywhere.
Now, it is funny that they do continue to find these guys who aren't superstars but are able to produce in a big way. They find the right guys. Pham and Adames. Avisel Garcia, 2 hits yesterday.
Yeah.
He's hitting .270. Mike Zunino, he goes 1-for-4 yesterday, hits a 3-run homer yesterday. So all these guys that you thought were just pieces of the puzzle, the Rays bring these positive WAR players all on the same team and produce wins.
Right.
The mathematical equations continue to dominate baseball. They're doing a great job continuously in Tampa. So we'll come back. We'll talk a little about my night on Thursday night. I attended Sixers-Raptors. So I'll give you a heads up there. We got 3 hours to talk baseball, football, and NBA. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
As our producer, Sean Engel, just said, may the 4th be with you. Happy Star Wars Day. Maybe I'll watch one of the movies today. I don't know. I'm behind.
There you go.
I was a big Star Wars guy growing up. It was just the right time to be a kid when all those movies were coming out. And I had kept pace with all the additional ones. But I have fallen behind. So I didn't see the most recent one, which was The Last Jedi, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I also didn't see Solo or Rogue One. So I got a lot to do. Maybe I could watch all that stuff today. And I know some aren't, you know, in line with the original canon of the movies. But, you know, I heard Rogue One was really the best of this new wave of movies that has come out, even though I did like Force Awakens a lot.
I like them all, except the ones with Jar Jar Binks. That one was pretty bad.
Phantom Menace was not good, but Attack of the Clones is the worst of all the movies, I think.
Yeah. I just love the villains. You know, who was the – maybe Sean could remind Darth Maul, the red guy with the little
Maul.
Horns. He was great.
Yeah.
Now the Emperor's coming back for the rise of the Skywalker. I don't know. Is Sean our guy when it comes to Star Wars? I know he's a little bit of a geek. He was our Game of Thrones guy, Mike.
Yeah,
Sean,
yeah,
it's
a movie geek. Sean, are you up on all the Star Wars movies?
Yeah, I've seen pretty much just about all of them that have been released in theaters, so I'm all ready to go to see Rise of Skywalker later this year.
Yeah.
Now,
when's that coming out? Like Christmas time?
Like.
Yep, yeah. Christmas time.
Yeah.
I got goosebumps just listening to the Emperor's laugh. And did you see the latest trailer, Mike?
I did.
Yeah,
very
yeah.
exciting. No, I'm pumped. I'm excited for it. So, well, good stuff. So, again, happy Star Wars Day to everybody out there. Shout out to
May the 4th be with you. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. To all of our Star Wars nerds, of which I would proclaim to be one, even though I've missed these last few movies. I can't go to the movies anymore. I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old. Like, where am I doing? I'm hiring a babysitter to go to the movies. I can't do that.
That's a sticking point with me. And just a second, then we could get to your Raptors thing. But we went to see Endgame. And my biggest thing with going to the movies was my wife loves going to the movies. To me, it's a pain in the neck because, you know, people buy their snacks and the packaging that the snacks comes in is so loud. And then 15 minutes into the movie, you know, the people next to you opening this stuff, and it just drives me nuts. And we saw the Avengers movie. There was three elderly women just speaking so loudly. You know, it just, I don't know. Whatever. Get to your Raptors.
Why would they go see the event? Why would they go to the Avengers?
You never know. I don't know. Maybe they're senior citizen geeks. I'll be a geek when I'm a senior citizen, right? I don't know.
An interesting choice by them. But I'm not into so much into the comic book movies, but I heard LaShawn McCoy pulled a big
no-no. Bastard.
Blew the ending for some people. It doesn't matter to me, but I understand why you would be irritated. Yeah. But that's an immediate
cut him.
Unfollow.
Bills, cut him. He's
immediate unfollow. Did it blow it for you? Did you know the ending going in because of him?
You did? I knew. Yeah. Because
why did you read it?
Well, I did. It just somebody must have that I follow on Twitter must have liked it, and it was on my screen, and it was just a short blip. And it's, you know, it's not like I could avoid it. It was just in front of me, you know. And
you just happened to see it. Okay. So let's talk about my Thursday night. Last minute. So full disclosure, I have many friends that work at the 76ers. And I just had it in my head that I needed to go see this game. I asked to see if they had a ticket. And I had a ticket. Great seats. The whole thing. Hung out with a couple of times. But it was a Cannonball Run. Went down from New York, Thursday afternoon, watched the game, right back on the Amtrak, got home at, 3 o'clock in the morning. So I was a little in rough shape yesterday, but here we are today, and I'm back better than ever. So it was an awesome experience. And I've been to a lot of different arenas and a lot of different games, as you have as well, Joe, and that was a really fun Philadelphia 76ers playoff atmosphere. It was a huge game. I really liked Philly in that game. Plus money, so had a little action on it as well. And Joel Embiid, it is really obvious now. First of all, the city has always loved the 76ers. I'd say they're doing their best to challenge the Eagles for the biggest game in town. Philly's really in good shape right now as a sports town. They obviously won the Super Bowl last year. They just signed Bryce Harper, and they're going to make a push in baseball for the foreseeable future. And the Sixers are as well. Now, this iteration of this Sixers team is likely to be – this is the last postseason, the last run for this iteration. You don't think Jimmy Butler's going to come back, but Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, likely there long term, and clearly Joel Embiid is the star of the show. Yes, he's an agitator, and some people might find him hard to root for if they're a Raptors fan or a Celts fan or a Brooklyn Nets fan, obviously. But not only is he an agitator, but he's a star, a superstar. And as he plays to his potential, he's one of the best players in the whole league. And they love him down there. He went for 31-10 with 5 blocks the other night. And he was hitting threes. He was doing a little shimmy. He went 3-for-4 from three. He was doing a little shimmy after a couple of those threes. And they really took care of the Raptors, man. Kawhi Leonard did his best to compete with him dropping 33, but Joel Embiid was awesome the other night. It was a fun place to be.
Sounds like this Embiid is maybe lets his emotions get involved in his game.
Yes,
because I'm reading the recap. He says when I have fun, my game just changes. So it sounds like he's got the potential to be like one of the best players in the league, but just like when everything is right in his head, am I reading this right?
Well, what I'd say is that early in his career, Embiid has been besieged by injuries, back injuries, mm-hmm. which are obviously concerning for a big man like that. But he is the embodiment of the new wave of the NBA player, a guy that's huge but has the range to shoot it from outside. He's got excellent offensive game, and he is a defensive presence as well. The 5 blocks are in a big playoff game are exhibiting that. Now, on the flip side of things, By the way, he had 33 points, matching Kawhi Leonard for the high of the game, not 31. So on the flip side of things, Kyle Lowry came up small again. He was 2 of 10 from the floor, only 7 points. And I know I'm recapping a game from a couple of days ago, but I was there. It's the only chance I have to talk about it. So it really was a lot of fun. The Sixers shot the lights out. They shot 44% from three, and they did a really nice job, fully outplayed Toronto. So their next game is tomorrow. I won't be there tomorrow, but really just a lot of fun. And anytime you can experience buildings with a playoff atmosphere where it's completely sold out, and the entertainment value that they provide in that arena is really good. It's a good building, too. I had never been in that. Actually, that's not true. I've been in that building for a hockey game, actually. I frozen for a hockey game a few years ago. So, overall, really good times. It was fun to be there. It's just that, you know, when organizations are run the right way, mm-hmm. from a basketball side from a on the field side, and then they really match it or go above and beyond on the business side, and they create a really fun, engaging, positive atmosphere in the stadium, it's something to behold. And the Sixers do that in spades.
Never been to see a basketball game in Philadelphia, but a couple of Father's Days ago, we went to see a Phillies game. And, you know, I live in Staten Island, one of the five boroughs of New York City, and it took me less than an hour and a half to get there by car. Sometimes when I drive to Yankee Stadium, it takes me 2 hours plus.
Yeah.
Comparison, parking $40 at Yankee Stadium, $10 outside of the Phillies ballpark. And like you said, just the atmosphere, just being there. It's a nice little small ballpark. So Philadelphia... Tip our caps to them. They know how to do things right, I guess. Were you able to get a cheesesteak, though, there, Mike? That's the big thing.
I did, as a matter of fact.
Pat's, Geno's, which
no, I in the stadium. In the stadium. Okay. I had no time to run all over Philly and do that. So I have to consider it was quality. It's Philadelphia, so I have no problem having a cheesesteak there. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's probably not Pat's or Geno's or one of the other places. If anybody from Philly is listening, I'm sure they're yelling at us about Pat's and Geno's because there's probably a better place, but it could be a better place, but those are the famous ones that we know about. So, but overall, a good atmosphere. Many of you listening know, but to those that don't, Philly has put all the arenas in this one corporate park, basically. Mm-hmm. They have Citizens Bank is right there, Lincoln Financial Field, the Link is right across the street, and then Wells Fargo Arena is there as well. So, and then they're building an esports arena in the same complex. They have Xfinity Live, which is like an entertainment center where a lot of people hang out before games, after games, and the like. So, no matter what game you're going to, you know you're going there. So, good times. Yeah, we had a great time there, and so I appreciate it. I just wanted to give a shout out. We don't talk too much NBA on this show, but it really was a fun atmosphere. And the guy that runs the Sixers and the Devils now, it's all part of the same Harris Blitzer Sports and Entertainment banner. He used to run the Knicks, named Scott O'Neill, and he's doing a great job. He was responsible for the renovation of Madison Square Garden, and now he's there in Philly, and they're building up. Look, if Philly plays like that, the Sixers play like that, they're going to the finals, period. They're going to the finals.
And you think this could be a last hurrah for this
iteration of this team? Mm-hmm, I don't think it's that the arrows pointed down after this because mm-hmm. they have superstars. They have Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. I just don't think Jimmy Butler will necessarily be there long term, and they have some decisions to make. You know, there's going to be big free agency decisions happening in the NBA. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard. I just ripped off four of the top 15 players in the entire league are making mm-hmm. decisions as to where they want to play next year. And I would guess that none of them are going to be, if you had to give me an over under. If you gave me an over-under of those four players I mentioned, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard, and the over-under is a half as to how many guys will stay on their current teams of those four, I'd still bet the under. I think they're all going.
Wow. Yeah. Lots of movement, huh?
Yes.
What is your who's your favorite basketball team, by the way?
So it's an interesting question because I'm a lifelong Knicks fan, but I really do have a bunch of friends that work at the Sixers. So I can't root for both.
Right.
And I've been very close to just ditching the Knicks to go with the Sixers and root with my friends. But right now, those are the two teams.
I used to follow the Knicks closely in the, the Ewing, John Stark, Oakley years.
Yeah,
that was a fun time to watch them. And of course, I was a front runner, right? But for those few years,
but no, what you think about? That was fun when Ewing.
Yeah,
it was at the top of the league and
the Reggie Miller rivalry, and against the Bulls as well. So that was a lot of fun. But
you were going to say what did I think of
Dolan, being sued by his partner or by the board for making too much of a salary while he's out, promoting his band and doing a world tour.
James Dolan has reached a point in the sports world where nothing surprises me.
Right.
He did a piece with Ian O'Connor a few months ago on ESPN, which was intended, I think, to make himself look better, and it didn't work because he can't get out of his own way regarding that.
Right.
And he does tremendous charity work, and that can't be dismissed, but it doesn't absolve him from being all those other things that people said. It just doesn't. And the only thing I can't figure out about Dolan, and the thing I sometimes try to defend him on, is the Rangers are in a down period right now because they've sold off the team. They're going through a rebuild. The Rangers haven't been a complete laughingstock for 20 years. They haven't been.
Correct.
It's the same owner.
Just a few years ago, they were in the finals, right?
I mean, same business people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't been cheap with the Knicks. He spends a ton of money. I just think he's had the wrong basketball people in there. And we'll see, frankly, if this group can get it done. I like the coach. I'll have to see what kind of decisions are made here. Obviously, everybody wants Zion Williamson to come here. But you can't guarantee they're going to win the lottery. And if the Knicks get second and they pick R.J. Barrett, I'd be okay with that, too. I would be. Yeah, I know people. I know maybe it's Ja Morant from Murray State. Maybe it's him too. But I think Barrett can be a hell of just a really tremendous NBA player. And I don't think anybody should be, if the Knicks miss out on Zion, which everybody's hoping for, I don't think you could be terribly upset if you end up with R.J. Barrett. So that's just my thoughts on it. But people are going to feel like it's a loss if they don't get Zion Williamson in New York.
Yeah, he's a guy I don't follow basketball, and he's a guy that even I know as one of the top players that everyone wants. But
he was clearly the best player in college basketball this year. Mm-hmm, the only thing you could say about Zion is that he won't be able to physically dominate people like that on the next level. Maybe he can. The kid still has baby fat on him. He's 19. He's just, he isn't built like LeBron was coming out of school. They're about the same size, but LeBron was a freak of nature in many ways. Not the least of which is that when he was 19, you would have guessed he was 25. He just had that look of somebody that had been working out for years and years. Once Zion gets into a training program, he'll be even a pro-style training program. He'll be even more impressive. But so that's the deal. So that's my Philly story. I always like to tell those stories of different arenas and places I've gone to in the experience. But you won't be able to get tickets for the rest of this playoffs, but next year, if you're close enough, give yourself a shot at a game in Philly. It's a good time.
Yeah, like I said, I live in Staten Island. It's less than an hour and a half by car, so it must have taken you forever because you're out on the island. So.
I trained.
That's something to think about. Yeah.
Train. Yeah, but that is a huge key. You're on the other side of the traffic that is brutal for me to get to Philly. If I could start in Staten Island, I'd go all the time.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, we'll come back. We're going to talk some more baseball after this. It's Mike and Joe on FST. Happy Star Wars Day. We'll be right back on the FST Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back, FST Saturday edition. You watch the Kentucky Derby, Joe?
I definitely watch it, yes. You know, it's exciting, you know. All the build-up and whatnot is fun to watch, and all the celebrities there, and, you know, makes me want to go get a mint julep, right?
That's right.
But most exciting
2 minutes in sports. People may find this crazy. I've never been to a Super Bowl. I've been to World Series games, and I've been to, you know, a lot of cool stuff, Final Fours and Frozen Fours and a bunch of other stuff. But the number one item on my sports bucket list, and I'm stunned that to this day I've never gone, is the Kentucky Derby. It's number one. It's been number one for a long time. One of my friends is there this weekend, and I'm annoyed with him that he didn't tell me he was going. Now, I don't know that I would have made it anyway, but I think next year I'm going to give it a real run. I think I would like to go to the Kentucky Derby next year.
How do you do that? I mean, do you just, like, go to Ticketmaster, try to buy tickets? I mean, how do you get to
I
go
think
to
so.
The
– So here, here's really? What I've heard. Yeah, so I think – I don't think it's – look, there's 200,000 people there or whatever.
Right.
So but I know for a fact, for people that I know that have gone, you want to be there on Friday. The Derby is what it is, and it is the big event. But the Oaks, which is run yesterday, and it's a whole slew of races, obviously, is the time to be there. It's a little less crowded. Obviously, in Kentucky at this time of year, you can get beautiful weather. So that's sure to really – where you really want to get there for Friday – because Saturday can be a huge hassle. But still, you go. I went to the Preakness one year for a bachelor party, and we were in the infield. It was one of the scariest things I've ever done in my life. It was mayhem. People get there at like 8 in the morning. They changed the rules the year after we left because we went there for a bachelor party. You basically get a blanket, stake off an area. You roll coolers on to the field, and people just start drinking at like 8 a.m. and drink all day. So it devolved into this story really took a turn. We were talking about how I want to go to the Kentucky Derby. Now I'm telling this story. It devolved into people throwing beers, like full cans of beers, just blindly into the crowd. And people started getting hit. I don't know. Because people were drinking for 7 hours straight in the sun. And they just started losing
I've been drunk,
minds.
And I don't throw my full bottle of beer.
Me neither. Super dangerous.
We have something in common.
In fact, my friend Ryan, who's at the Kentucky Oaks right now, I was talking to somebody, was not looking, and at the very last second, he saw a beer hurtling towards me that had been thrown from like 50 yards away. And he stuck his arm up. It would have hit me in the face. And no joke, I would have been in the hospital. It was ridiculous. And I didn't even see it. And he's like, dude, I just saved your life. And I was like, I didn't even know what you're talking about. He's like, somebody threw a beer and it almost hit you in the face. I was literally turned and talking to somebody. So that's how crazy it can get. You can't even have your head on a swivel because beers are being thrown. And after that, they stopped allowing people to bring their own alcohol on there because I think it had gotten to the point where it was just out of control. Anyway, that's my Preakness story. But the Derby is my number one sports bucket item. What is yours?
I have never been to a Super Bowl. I think I'd like to go to one just to get it off my bucket list. Although watching it at home with a group of friends or whatnot is a lot of fun as well. But just to say that, hey, I've done it, you know, would be something else. And
I'm with you. The Derby is in front of the Super Bowl for me too. I'm not the Super Bowl is probably second. It is second.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten to go to some other stuff that it's already checked off, right? So I went to the 99 Yankees clincher. So that was good. I got to see clinching
World Series clincher game. Awesome. That's
and the other one, the other big one I went to was 2001, the Jeter walk-off home run, the Mr. November. Game.
Wow.
That one.
So now that's something. Yeah.
That was an incredible game to be at. Mm-hmm. So the Tino Martinez ties the game. The place was going bonkers. Like I have never heard a stadium that loud as the couple of times in that game. So anyway, we have the Derby today. Favorite obviously got scratched. Omaha Beach. We had another scratch late last night. Heichel, I think, was the name of the horse. Apologies if I'm mispronouncing it, but still got a bunch of horses out there today. I don't proclaim to be a sports expert, but who knows? Maybe I'll throw a little bit of cash down today. Listen to my man Joe Ranieri and Gabe Morenci, who they know the ponies, and Cam Stewart knows the ponies a little bit better.
Yeah.
I'm sure Cam will talk about it in the Weekend Fantasy Update. Coming up at 11 o'clock. So, so we got that today, obviously. But, again, we're back to baseball. So, Yankees are getting Miguel Andujar back today, but they may have somebody else on the IL for a long period of time, but it's to be determined. MRI today for James Paxton after he throws three innings, he gets pulled. It's a knee issue. So, not elbow issue or shoulder issue, which is usually your first two concerns.
But
a knee issue, and clearly it was painful enough that he had to leave the mound.
Yeah, and he didn't look right last night. Past couple of starts, he had looked a lot better after Carlos Beltran, who still works for the Yankees, gave him a little heads up that he was maybe tipping his pitches, and that helped him a lot. So, and the Yankees really needed him strong this season. I mean, when they trade, was it a trade? It was a trade. They got him right, and you know, with Luis Severino out for so long, you know, they didn't expect him to have to be their ace. You know, Tanaka's still there, of course, but it's a shame because like he had really started to come into his own. And you would hope it's nothing serious, but Frank Stanfill, you could hear him on BFFs every day. He said, you know, it's the Yankee way, you know, Andujar's going to come back, and now we have to sacrifice somebody in order to get him back. Yeah. So sorry, Paxton.
Yeah, he did come over in a trade in right before Thanksgiving. Justice Sheffield was the big
Sheffield,
Yankee prospect that went the other way. So. Mm-hmm. Let's see who else, but that was the big prospect. I think there was maybe a couple of other guys that were involved in it, but nonetheless, that's a big loss for them. If the Yankees are going to do anything this year in terms of challenging for a title, he's got to be there. He's going to have to be. Severino.
Yeah.
Particularly because I have no expectations for Severino to give us anything this year.
Yeah, what about the job that Domingo Herman has done so far this season? You know, so you got to give him some props as well.
Absolutely.
But another guy that now is starting to be in the news again is Dallas Keuchel. So the Yankees this week kind of intimated that maybe come June when they won't have to give up a draft pick for signing him, maybe they would think about pursuing him. So it looks like
you'd imagine everybody is waiting on that deadline.
Sure,
right.
But yeah, so. But at that point, I guess it's whoever wants to make the biggest investment, because he's looking for a prorated salary consistent with what the Astros had offered him, which is $17.9 million. So, you know, it depends on, you know, if the Yankees are like teeter-tottering and they think that Keuchel might be the finishing piece to their puzzle, you know, they could be aggressive in.
I don't even know if the Yankees can think of finishing pieces at this point. I think they just need bodies. if Paxton goes down, I don't really care about the money. I've said this before. The Yankees spend a far less percentage of their money now than they did 15 years ago as in comparison to revenues. So I don't care about the money much. I think at this point, they're just going to need bodies with Severino and Paxton on the shelf, let alone the other guys that are coming back. By the way, it's Andujar today or tomorrow, and then Frazier on Monday.
Yeah,
I think. Yep. So we do have some guys coming back. It's good to see that the Frazier thing wasn't that serious, and he didn't have to be out longer. But, you know, 10-day IL, hopefully enough to get him back. As far as his game last night, Gary Sanchez with two homers. That's huge. Sanchez already has 10 homers, and that's with him having gone on the IL already. So three hits last night, 3 for 4, but two solo homers.
Yeah, 3 for 4, batting .265. So he's, you know, I always knew he was a very good power hitter. I was worried about the average. I mean, like you said, he's missed time. You know, forget about what he does as a defensive catcher and calling games and whatnot. As a hitter, probably, you know, one of the top. Everybody talks Realmuto. You know, when it comes to power, Sanchez is the top power catcher in baseball. And glad to see that we need him. So he doesn't just hit them; he hits them. I don't know if it was Tuchman. Yes. I don't know if you saw the game last night. Tuchman was just holding his hand in his head, just in amazement at the shot that Sanchez hit. So.
429-foot homer last night is what Tuchman was looking at. Cameron Maben, who the Yankees made a deal for, I guess it was earlier this week. It's since we last spoke, right?
He
was one for two with two runs scored last night. Maben was an example of the Yankees just needing bodies, right? If you send 13 guys to the IL, you're just going to have to start making deals like that, whether it's Keuchel a few weeks from now or Maben just to have more bodies out there. There's only so many minor leaguers that can come up and give you any kind of contribution. So having a major leaguer in there to provide some useful starts is important.
Yeah, and he's a big thing is that he's happy to be there, has experience as a major leaguer, obviously, playing for the Yankees, where he thinks that he has a chance to play for a winner. I don't know if he's going to be there by the end of the season, but like you said, right now, we need people to put in the lineup every day.
Yeah. So I'll give you, since we're talking about the Yankees, I might as well give some additional updates. So Andujar returning, I'm trying to bring up this one story.
I think today, we got to check the lineup once it comes out, but I think he should be in it.
Yeah. We may have that. What time is that game today? Is that an afternoon?
I believe
game?
It's one. Yeah. So,
Even get that game in, it's pouring rain all last night in New York. It's expected to rain throughout the weekend, but maybe we get a respite for that game this afternoon. Yeah. So
no lineup released as of yet, so we'll keep
This is according to the New York Times, Bob Clappish. So with the Yankees' lineup full of emergency calls and bench players, Andujar's return could be just the beginning of the end of the team's injury nightmare. Aaron Hicks, battling that back since spring training, will begin playing minor league games in Tampa next week. So you have to figure that's still a couple of more weeks for him. Clint Frazier's sprained ankle has sufficiently healed for the Yankees to project activating him on Monday. I imagine that ankle is just going to bother Frazier for the rest of the year. It's just one of those deals, you know.
I'm hoping not. I'm hoping that because the Yankees are kind of conservative when it comes to putting people on the IL, and by conservative I mean that they're more cautious, it seems, than other teams. So we'll see. Keep our fingers crossed, because he was really, it was the worst time for him to have to take a break, because he was just swinging a hot bat.
I agree. And honestly, maybe it's because he's got red hair and I do too, but Frazier's been the one guy that I really did not want them to trade. And I'm glad they didn't. But it is frustrating because he's been dealt with concussions and he's had other injury issues too. Now, the ankle, like you said, hopefully it is sufficiently healed or completely healed, because hustle and speed are a big part of his game. And if a hampered Clint Frazier isn't nearly the threat that he can be when he's completely healthy, he's a young player, he's got speed and quickness, and obviously he can field, and he's got a bunch of different tools in his arsenal. So having him hampered is a guy that just wouldn't be as scary.
Absolutely, and his enthusiasm and aggressiveness rubs off on the rest of the players as well. I mean, this guy was one of, if not the top prospect, you know, on the in the Indian system. So everyone was excited when he came over to the Yankees, and you know, guy that, you know, at his best can hit for power, give you a couple of steals as well. Real good fantasy option. Went for a lot of money in waiver wire bids a few weeks ago. So he's definitely someone that could put a charge, could continue to put a charge in this Yankee lineup. But, you know, when you look at what everybody else has been doing, Urshela, they're playing small ball, it's kind of fun watching this team. I know that, you know, Yankee haters were saying, hey, you know, they're beating all teams that have subpar 500 records. So it was nice to see the Yankees beat the Twins, who came into last night's game as the having the best record in the AL. So they needed that one just to quiet the Yankee haters.
Yeah, it's the Yankee Swiss Army knife. DJ LeMahieu could be added to the lineup on Saturday as well. So
nice.
Severino and Judge are nowhere near being ready. And Giancarlo Stanton has still not swung a bat competitively since the end of March. So these injury issues do continue to happen, but I think slowly but surely we'll have guys coming back. But the Severino, Judge, now Paxton, and obviously the ongoing situation with Gregorius are the things that people will really be looking for to see how much firepower the Yankees get back long term.
Yeah, from what I hear, DD is on track to return sometime in June. That was the expectation if there were no setbacks. So it looks like he's on target for June. So that'd be good.
I always expected All-Star break. So if it's June, that beats us to the All-Star break. So I'm okay with that. I'd sign off for that right now. And to your point about some of the guys like Urshela playing really well, it's great that they can do it in short spurts. But as we often see with these role players, when you have them out there every day for several months, the flaws start to show.
Absolutely.
They can do it in short spurts, but they can't do it every day.
Yeah, but we'll take it as it comes. I mean, Urshela was known as a guy, mostly a glove, no bat, but hitting the ball hard, and he's batting, 338? What about the job that we haven't even spoken about? Luke Voit. How can we not speak about Luke on Star Wars Day? Luke.
Yeah, good point. 1-for-3 with an RBI and a walk last night. Voit's OPS at 938.
Yeah.
Who misses Greg Bird? Not me.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to turn it over in hour number two. We'll talk some football. Take a look at the teams and their outlooks for 2019. Maybe talk about some odds right now. We'll be right back. It's Mike Joe on FST.